Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. Today is a very special story. I actually heard it from my rabbi, and he tells the story like this. He said, "This is the story of how my grandmother became a Chabadnik. She was not born a Chabadnik. Her family was not Chabad. In fact, her husband was barely Frum. He actually wasn't Frum. She was modern Orthodox, which means that she was, in her case, kept the basics, but not Chassidim by any means. How did all of that change? Of course, it was a process, but this story is about when it actually happened. You see, in those days, they had bungalow colonies. They still have bungalow colonies, but they're not as popular. A bungalow colony means a place that people go to spend the summer, a couple hours outside of the city, in this case, New York. I think that's where most bungalow colonies are. A couple hours outside of New York City, it's maybe a little bit in the mountains. It's beautiful. It's a natural area. And a colony would be a group of 20, 30 little cabins. And typically, all the cabins would be rented by Jewish families, and could be a lot of them knew each other, or maybe they were related to each other, some of them not. But it was a very, very friendly, Hamish we called in Yiddish, a very Hamish and friendly summer situation where the whole family would be there and spend all summer, and they would have lots of time. The kids would play together and there'd be some learning and so forth. Okay. In any case, typically, the husbands did not spend the summer in the bungalow colony during the week, because typically the husbands had jobs, and their jobs were in the cities. And in those days, it was before internet. Nobody was able to work on internet. And if you had a job, you had to go to the office every day. There was no other way to do it. And so typically, the husbands would stay in New York City from Monday till Friday. And then Friday, and sometime in about the middle of the day, they would head up north, usually was, to New York State, and they would go to the bungalow colony. They would join their families for Shabbos and for Sunday. Then they would come back Sunday night, and they would be at the job on Monday morning, or perhaps they would leave very, very early Monday morning and be on the job a little bit later Monday morning. So this is where my grandmother spent the summer. And she noticed that there was some Fridays that the husbands did not come up to the bungalow colony. So she asked one of her friends, "Why aren't the husbands coming up for Shabbos this week? Where are they? Every single Shabbos that I've been here, the husbands come up Friday afternoon, a couple hours before Shabbos. They spent Shabbos here on Sunday. Where are they?" So her friend explained, "Well, you see, it's Shabbos Mevorchim. That means it's the last Shabbos in the month. And therefore, there's a custom that we bless the new month from this Shabbos, the last Shabbos of the month. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe always makes a Verbrengen, makes a public get-together, a gathering. And he speaks at that gathering, typically 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. And it's a very, very important occasion. And there's tremendous amount of learning directly from the Rebbe and singing. And it's very enjoyable. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful event. Very close, spending time with the Rebbe and hearing talks and explanations and so forth. Nothing like it. And therefore, all of the men, all the Chabad men that were at the bungalow colonies, they would stay there for such a Shabbos. And they would stay in order to be able to be in shul in 770 when the Rebbe made the Verbrengen and made the get-together. And they could learn from the Rebbe that would speak hours and hours and explain things in Torah. And they were singing and making l'chaim, and the Rebbe would be giving brachas. And it's a very, very special time. And that's why they wouldn't be there. But to bring the entire family to New York for the Verbrengen, that usually wasn't done. it was a big project to do that, to pile all the children and, of course, the wife into the car and the food and everything. And usually the families didn't do that. Fine. So there was one such Shabbos Mevorachim, and another one. And all of a sudden came one Shabbos in which all of the husbands came up from the city to the bungalow colony to spend Shabbos, except for one. And so my grandmother asked the wife of this person, "Where's your husband? Why didn't he come? This is not Shabbos Mevorachim. All the other husbands are here. Why isn't he here also?" So the woman told my grandmother, "Well, that's because there was a rumor that there might be a Ferbrengen this Shabbos. And since there might be a Ferbrengen this Shabbos, my husband, who's very, very connected strongly to the Rebbe very, very much, he wanted to stay there. And of course, I gave my permission and blessing. Of course, go ahead, stay, and maybe there'll be a Ferbrengen." "Oh, okay. That's why I stayed, because maybe there's going to be a Ferbrengen, therefore he stayed there for Shabbos." Anyway, after Shabbos, sure enough, the phone call was made, and it turned out that there was a Ferbrengen that Shabbos. So everybody was very excited. All the men in the bungalow colony were very excited. Oh, there was a Ferbrengen. And we wonder, what did the Rebbe talk about? And our friend, he really cashed in. He stayed for Shabbos, and sure enough, there was a Ferbrengen. A few hours later, they all wait up for him, of course. And a few hours later, he shows up. And here he is, and they're so happy for him. They're all singing and dancing. They take him up on their shoulders, and they're dancing around with him. They're so happy for him that he made this right choice, and he was in New York for the Ferbrengen and the Rebbe Ferbrengen, and they were singing and dancing. Then they sat down, and they made a Ferbrengen, and this chassid who was there at the Ferbrengen, he gave over as much as he could remember of what the Rebbe said. It was a tremendous, tremendous celebration. Well, when my grandmother saw that, she said, "Wow, this kind of dedication to the Rebbe, that even if there's a rumor that there might be a Ferbrengen, that this husband stays and his wife approves and gives permission and blesses him and everything. And sure enough, then there was a Ferbrengen. And look how happy all the chassidim are for their friend. They're not jealous that he saw the Ferbrengen and heard it and they didn't. They're just so happy for him. It's such avos Yisrael. It's such love of their fellow Jew. They're so happy for him. They're thrilled, and they're dancing with him on their shoulders and everything, celebrating." She said, "That's it." At that point, she knew that she was going to become a Chabadnik. Why? Because of two points. Number one, this kind of dedication to the Rebbe, this love that the Chassidim have for the Rebbe. And of course, the Rebbe has even more love for the Chassidim. And number two, the love that the Chassidim have for each other. And this is really how the Alter Rebbe envisioned it. First Chabad, the Rebbe envisioned that Chassidim should be like one family, according to the Torah. And also, in another place where this topic is talked about, it's mentioned that Chassidus changed something, that before Chassidus, before the Baal Shem Tov, the Rosh Yeshiva was alone and the Talmidim were alone. There's a big gap, typically, between the Rosh Yeshiva and the Talmidim. But the spirit of Chassidus, which has now penetrated every place, is the connection between the Rebbe and the Chassidim. And actually, it's also made a big impression on Rosh Hashivas being closer with their Talmidim, and that is how it should be. That the leader of the Jewish people should be very close with the Jewish people. Two-way street. We should have love for our leader, our Rebbe, whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu, or David HaMelech, or the Baal Shem Tov, or the Alter Rebbe, or the Rebbe. And he has that kind of love for us even more so, actually. And besides that, we should have love for each other. We Chassidim, we Jews in general, that all Jews should really be like one family, according to the Torah. And this type of behavior of really recognizing this relationship that we should have with our leader and the love that we should have between each other, this is going to bring Mashiach so much quicker. And therefore, when we work on our Avos Yisrael one for another, we work on our relationship with the Rebbe, we work on our closeness, our love for the Rebbe, and focus on the love that the Rebbe has for us. The shepherd never leaves his flock. So this also will bring us so much closer, so much quicker to Mashiach and to Geula. May it happen immediately, and may all of us work to increase in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, bringing the redemption as quickly as possible. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More.